Back pain and stiffness made mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
You're welcome back to the show. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock this evening. And Thomas Barr is with me in studio. Congratulations on the retirement. Is
Thank
it congratulations?
It's, yeah, everyone is kind of a little bit confused as to what to say, but it's definitely congratulations or a sayonara or good riddance.
Why have you decided to retire?
I suppose it's something that I've been obviously thinking about for, you know, the last couple of years, really, is when is my last year? And we operate kind of in 4-year cycles. Well, 3-year cycle this year since Tokyo, since it was a 3-year cycle. And I kind of thought that it was just, you know, I gave myself the couple of months after Paris to sort of mull it over, think of all of the different sort of scenarios of would I like to keep going. And it was kind of a double-edged sword because I was in really good shape last year, probably the best shape I've been in, you know, ran some of the fastest relay splits. I've ever run. So it was like, well, do I keep going because this is the shape I'm in and I think I can get better and get more out of it? Or is this a nice place to stop where I've done well, my body's in good shape, I can walk away not carrying any injuries on my terms, sort of go out on a high? And it was facing back into the winter of training that I just thought, you know what, I really don't want to get involved in this. You know, financially, sort of, I was thinking it was going to be a little bit of a struggle and I needed to put in even more effort to try and maintain the same level, which I don't know if physically, mentally, financially I was going to be able to do. So it just felt like the kind of right place to call it a day.
So it's interesting you say, because I was listening to a podcast during the week, Alistair Brownlee was being interviewed and he talked about, you know, that you get to a certain point as well and you realise if I go now, I go on my own terms, but I'm of an age where the longer I stay in, the more likely it is that I'll have to go because of injury.
Yeah.
That something will happen. I guess that calculation is true for you too.
100%, yeah. And like even in the last 3 years, I've probably had more sort of injury sort of worries with calves and Achilles, which are, as my physio said, you know, they're age related, you know, 30s. I'm starting to push on a little bit. There's miles on the clock. So it was going to be only a matter of time until I, you know, injury sort of forced me out. I think it was just the odds were against me. Last year, I was very lucky that I managed to pull it together for the whole season. The season before that I had to pull out because of a calf injury. It was the first championships I think I've ever missed or not qualified for because of injury, and I just thought that the longer I stayed in it, the more that sort of chance was going to just force me out, and I didn't really want to go out of the sport that way because it could be very hollow or I might have mixed feelings or maybe bad memories of the sport leaving that way.
So then when you get close to making the decision or when you make it, does that trigger a degree of introspection or kind of reflection? Do you start looking back?
Absolutely, yeah, completely. And even when I was kind of like thinking of retirement, I was kind of looking back over photos and videos and articles of like all the years back as far as like 2010, 2011 when I kind of first sort of broke onto the international scene, if you like, as a junior athlete. And that was a lot of the reason as well why I kind of thought, no, do you know what? I've achieved a huge amount, more than I ever thought I could. So I thought, yeah, why try and bite off more than I can chew? I'm happy with my lot. So in reflection, I kind of thought, yeah, this is sort of, I think, the right decision. And on reflection as well, I thought, you know, I was getting very kind of like sentimental, if you like, of the fact that the amount of people that have helped me along the way, that have been so generous with their time, gotten me to the point of my career with, you know, where I was, you know, breaking records, taking home medals, And all the messages in the last, you know, day or two have been so positive, and I'm just very grateful and thankful that I had the opportunity to do that, and that there were so many people willing to help me along the way.
What was the career highlight?
Rio in 2016, yeah. 100%, yeah. Finishing fourth out there, 0.05 of a second off a medal. It was somewhere I never thought I'd get to. But it was also a really tough year behind the scenes. You know, training didn't really go my way. I picked up an injury that had me out for 2 or 3 months. So having kind of struggled through that and still managed to pull it off and get there and be in the shape that I was, it was kind of, it was really worth it, you know?
Yeah. When that happens, when you achieve that level of success, how much pressure did you feel then, say, going back into the winter training again, post-Rio, so into 16, into 17, to try and kind of replicate what had happened?
I suppose I've kind of felt that pressure really for the remainder of my career, is to try and get back to that form.
Yeah.
And I've gotten close a number of times. You know, Tokyo, I came close. I was probably in better shape in Tokyo for the Olympics. In Berlin, I came close. Last year, I came close as well. You know, I was always just about there, almost like the nearly man. So that pressure was always there, but I didn't let it get to me because I just kind of focused always on the process.
What motivated you as a runner?
That's a good question. Like, I suppose what motivated me was wanting to push myself, wanting to challenge myself, wanting to get better. That was sort of the motivation. But what kept me coming back and what brought me to the track every single day, which is, I suppose, the discipline of doing stuff that you don't want to do sometimes and just getting it done, was the fact that I enjoyed training. Like, I enjoyed the process of going to the gym, going to the track, meeting up with my friends and my coaches at training. And it made all of that hard work, that discipline, so much easier. And it made me accountable as well, because if I missed training, I was going to get a text from one of the lads being like, where were you? And a slagging. So it was nice to have that sort of support all the way through. And it, you know, winter training always seemed to go quite quickly because of that.
Yeah. After Rio, was there any element of kind of fear of failure that motivated you? Like, I've achieved this now, and there's been an expectation amongst the public.
I don't know if that ever motivated me. No, I don't.
Was it something you were conscious of?
Yeah, no, it was, I suppose.
Particularly amongst the non-athletics portion of the public. You know what I mean?
In waiting for more.
It's different. Like, I'll sit down and watch Diamond League, but that's a minority of people in Ireland. You know what I mean? Most people, they're only going to tune in for the championships. And I guess on some level, you're conscious, there's a load of people now tuning in. And the last time they saw me run, I came fourth in the Olympics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
that type of thing.
That never really, that never really got into my head. It never really featured, because I suppose I was able to pull in a bit of context and say, well, if my year has not gone great up to that point, I'm thinking, well, this is where I am. This is all I can do.
Yeah.
That never really featured. What motivated me, if we kind of strip it back even, what motivated me even more was wanting to push myself and wanting to kind of push the boundaries, wanting to get faster. Not for anybody else's sake or anything like that, but because I actually wanted to see how far I could push myself. You know, that kind of way. I tried to block out as much of that sort of external noise, if you like.
Yeah. And what about other external factors, like kind of personalities? Did you measure yourself? Were you good to measure yourself off kind of your own previous performance, or were you measuring yourself off a kind of De Silva or whoever it happened to be after a time?
I would have always tried to measure myself off of where I was at.
Okay, yeah.
It was always the best litmus test was what I'd done before and what worked for me or what didn't work for me. But I did definitely take motivation at times from other athletes, what they were doing and how they were doing, and took inspiration from, you know, certain athletes over the years that I thought, okay, well, they've done this. This is where they were last year. There's no reason why I can't do that. I'll keep trucking away. So I didn't really look too deep into, maybe it's a selfish thing, I'm not sure. I didn't really look too deep into what everyone else was doing. I just kind of focused on myself and what I was able to do, you know.
How financially precarious is it?
It's very up and down. It's very up and down. And to be honest, look, I mean, I've been on every end of the scale whereby I was just scraping by with athletics, which is where a lot of athletes really are. And then there were times, obviously, after Rio, you know, I became very attractive for sponsors. I was very well funded by Sport Ireland and Athletics Ireland and well looked after. And so I had that as well, whereby I was at, you know, the top of the game, really, if you want to look at it that way, in terms of financial stability. but it's very up and down and all over the place, to the point that it was very difficult even for me to try and get a mortgage because there was no real stability or structure in what I was doing. And like, anyone asks me, oh, is there much money in athletics? And said, if you're doing athletics for the money, you're in the wrong sport.
Yeah.
Because it's just not there unless you're really at the very top of the game.
Is there a better model that you think we could have in terms of funding? You know, in terms of the kind of the Sport Ireland funding or podium funding, would you change any of that?
It's very, like, I mean, I think they've done a very good job at what limited resources and what limited funding that there is. It's such a difficult one because I could say, oh, I want to change this because personally I have a gripe with something.
Yeah.
I say, oh, I'll change this. But then changing that might not actually make the system as a whole any better.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the butterfly effect. You make one small change here and is it going to have a knock-on effect further down the chain that a load of other people aren't going to be happy
with?
So, like, it is definitely a reward system whereby if you run fast, you'll be rewarded. More so than say a support system whereby they're thinking, okay, we're going to invest in this person because we think actually we could do that. But it's probably the only fair and just way of doing it. It's like, okay, if you run well, you get the rewards. It's a really difficult one to try and navigate. And I suppose what would make it easier is just simply having more of it.
Yeah, more money would make everything. More money makes everything easier, Tom. Don't mind these people who say it doesn't make you happy.
Yeah. It can make things much more simple.
So what's the plan now then?
Good question. I'm not really sure. And that's kind of half of
keep
the...
Keep paying the mortgage somehow.
Yeah, keep paying the mortgage. Like I have a couple of different avenues that I'm kind of looking at. I've jumped on board with a friend of mine, Timmy Crowe. Sports Equipment Ireland is a company he's set up. So kind of going to go in part-time with him. I'm doing TY visits, workshops with a friend of mine, Joe O'Shea, who I trained with and developed me. So I've been doing those 2 days a week the last year or so. Yeah, just wait and see where it goes. I'll hopefully get the house renovation completely finished in the next couple of months as well.
So before you go then, just a kind of a general question about the state of Irish athletics. It's kind of in rude health at the moment, certainly at elite level. And, you know, there was huge excitement around Paris. And I guess the trap you can all fall into is to think, right, that's it now. It's kind of, that's sorted. We've cracked that. We're going to be competing at that level forever. What needs to happen or what should be done kind of behind the scenes to ensure that kind of after, you know, yourself and Rashida and whoever it else happens to be, that kind of when they kind of move off the scene, that there's others to replace them?
Yeah, and I think, to be honest, athletics at the moment in Ireland is in an unbelievable place. It's probably one of the healthiest places it's been in the 14 or so years I've been at the international sort of level. I think we just need to keep the finger on the pulse, keep promoting the sport, keep the good results coming. And I think we have a lot of younger talent coming through, which is great to see. It's to try and keep them in the sport. Keep the, you know, there's a drop off in that kind of late teens.
Yeah.
Keep people in the sport all the way through. Keep them in the sport through college. You know, there's a lot of years there where people can drop off a little bit, where there's, you know, a lot of lifestyle changes are happening, moving away from home, moving training group, moving abroad. You know, there's a lot of other things going on in your life at that point. And it's just to try and really capture whatever talent we have and continually to try and bring it through so that we have a big pool of athletes coming through to the level to then keep bumping up. But I think it's in a good place after the year because athletics clubs are full all over the country. Athletics
too become, full.
I know, yeah. People can't actually get into it.
Can't get in unless you're willing to volunteer to coach.
But we always need more help. But it's fantastic and I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes from here. It's in a brilliant position. I hope we can just keep it there.
Thomas Barr, it's been a real pleasure. Tom, thanks a million.
Thanks very much for having me.
Stay with us. Back in a moment.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.